Mind if we hear some tunes?
Hey, that'll work. You got any Christmas music?
This is Christmas music.
Welcome to Film Stalker Film Club. We are doing a special because, if you hadn't noticed, it's Christmas already. Marketing and media campaigns galore have been telling us it's Christmas for about 8 months. But now it's actually about to arrive. We thought we'd look at the best Christmas films. But we've done that a few times with Film Stalker, both on the features, and we've done it once before, I think, on Film Stalker Film Club. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick Empire's online list of the top Christmas films.
There are other online film Christmas top 30s.
Yes, there are other online sites and online magazines and magazines about films and etc. We just chose Empire because Mark mentioned it. And we're doing their list, which is the 30 best Christmas movies ever. Not films, movies. So that must be for an American audience, which is strange because I thought they were a British magazine. First of all, I'll say hello to someone who's already spoken tonight, and that's Stephen. Hello.
Hello.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas.
In advance. I mean, no, it's happening now.
Everybody will think it's July.
No, I'm telling the truth. And hello, Mark. How are you doing? Merry Christmas to you.
And Merry Christmas to you. And Merry Christmas to you too, Stephen.
And you.
And to all the Film Stalker Film Club listeners.
Indeed, all four of them.
And we three of them.
I think my mum listens in as well.
So we're just going to work our way through this list, and we'll just work our way through the list from 30 to 1, because they've titled it, as I said, the 30 best Christmas movies ever. So we start at 30 and go all the way to 1. Makes sense to me. So 30, we have A Charlie Brown Christmas, made in 1965. 1965!
I know, I've seen that.
But it's in colour.
I honestly can't believe that's 1965.
I watched it last year. I think if you like Charlie Brown, you'll like it.
Yeah, me too. I think it was one of the free downloads on iTunes. You know, they do the 12 Days of Christmas. I think that's the last time I watched it, and it might have been a couple of years ago, but what can you say? It takes you back to being a kid.
Yeah, but Charlie Brown's much more of an American audience thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but the message is universal, is it not?
Hmm. Yeah, but surely you lose a bit by not being associated. I mean, I've never really followed Charlie Brown apart from seeing that film once a long time ago. Didn't really resonate with me. The characters really didn't mean a lot because I don't understand who Charlie Brown is. Well, I mean, I do understand, but, you know, I've never followed the cartoon or comic strip or anything. Danger Mouse, the Christmas movie, you know, that would have more resonance with me, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But not with anyone else. Okay.
If you like Charlie Brown, you'll like this.
Yeah. That's it.
I concur. Number 29, Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. Now, that was made in 2010 by Jalmari Helander. Oh, dude, we've got a bad record.
Oh, I've just actually ordered this. Not all right. I ordered it yesterday.
Why did you order it, Stephen?
Why?
Yeah.
Because it looked good and it was a weird Christmas one, like Bad Santa. Whether it is or not, I have no idea.
And it was foreign.
I believe it's Danish because I was looking up Danish. Oh, it's Finnish, actually.
It's Finnish, is it not?
Yeah, Finnish.
Yeah. It looks quite good, actually.
I seem to remember something about it. I seem to remember some trailers and publicity. I honestly can't remember much about it. I haven't seen it.
No, it appealed, and it's Christmas, so I've ordered it.
That's what it's like.
I might.
Maybe next year when we do the best Christmas movies again, we could watch it.
I can complain if it's not higher.
Yeah.
I'll say why the hell's that in the list.
I seem to remember it was quite stylishly done, but that's all I remember about seeing the trailer and hearing about it from places like Twitch and Quiet Earth, two great sites. Plug, plug. Okay, let's move on because we haven't seen that. Okay, so number 28, Brazil. Made in 1985, director's Terry Gilliam.
I've never seen this. Is it a Christmas film?
Pardon me?
I'm confused. I don't think Brazil is a Christmas film.
Isn't it set around Christmas, though?
I can't remember, honestly. It's a long time since I've seen it.
Yeah, me too, but as I seem to recall, I think it is set at Christmas.
The blurb mentions a visit from Santa. That seems that is the only reference.
And that, as Mark says, it's filmed at that time of year.
Which is a whole discussion in itself.
It is. We've already had that one before. About whether just setting a film at the time of Christmas makes it a Christmas film, or whether it's more about sentiments and the story. However, Brazil is a really good film. And visually fantastic.
Yeah, it's on my list of shame. I've not yet seen it.
Yeah, it is amazing. But I'd struggle to say that it's about Christmas. Because unlike Die Hard, it's not got that, you know, that family feeling of the family coming together for Christmas.
We don't yet know if Die Hard's in this list, though.
Yeah, but we talked about it last year. And I just like kind of bringing up the pain again for Richard, that's all.
There's two things you like bringing up, Mark. Three things you like bringing up, Mark. I can't say I was going to go on. Four, five?
The fourth thing you like.
Number one is Die Hard.
Fanatical dedication to the Pope. Yeah, very good.
Number two, shiny red. Number two, Apple. Number three, Android. As in Apple are great, Android are crap. And number four, I'm not sure there was a number four now. I think I've got lost in my own rant.
Cronenberg. Well, that's more my number two.
Well, you keep talking about Cronenberg. I've only chosen like two films of his.
Number 27?
Was two? I can't even remember. Anyway, Brazil's a good film, but yeah, I think we're agreed it doesn't belong on this list. Number 27, Meet Me in St. Louis.
Never seen it.
1944 film directed by Vincent Minnelli. Starring Judy Garland, of course. I've never seen it either.
Stupid.
Yeah, I'm not doing it now. I often sing the little refrain of Meet Me in St. Louis. Can't even remember if it's in the film anymore. But
how does it go, Steve?
I forgot. It's one of the things, it only comes to me in Christmas Day.
Well, that's tomorrow. So imagine. Imagine.
I'm too excited. Tomorrow. No, it's just the Sound of Music's coming into me now.
Oh, dear.
That's
Christmas. Is that a Christmas film?
It is for me.
Okay, let's not get distracted. None of us have seen it. Although, no. I do believe it's a classic. And Judy Garland. Okay, 26. What have they got in 26? Oh, The Snowman. 1980.
Oh, yeah, isn't it lovely in twee in English?
Yes, although since the Iron Brew advert came out, I do feel it's a lot more Scottish.
Yeah. Oh, it is a good video, that.
Yeah, the Iron Brew advert.
What I think of The Snowman is better if you're watching the 3-minute pop song video with Alan Jones singing along.
But he didn't sing it in the original, did he? He doesn't sing it in the film.
No, I know it's some boy in the film, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then fast forward to that bit on the DVD.
Yeah. I've got to admit, that's the image that lives on of The Snowman is that video.
Yeah.
And that song.
I mean, I've got it on DVD, and Joshua is now getting to that age where he's excited about Christmas and he's going to want to watch these films, and I'm going to get to watch them again. And I'm guessing he's going to find this one boring.
Or if not, you'll make sure he does. And then you'll put on
ruining it for him.
Then you'll put on your Finnish Christmas film.
He can be the special guest next year.
Here you go, Joshua. We're going to watch a film. And by the way, The Snowman melts at the end.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No, let's put Bad Santa on.
I can't believe you just brought a spoiler in. Oh, I don't. Oh, let's move on then. 25. What have we got for 25? Edward Scissorhands. 1990. Tim Burton.
Damn right. Great film.
It is a good film, actually, yeah.
It's a brilliant film.
I wouldn't say brilliant.
Really?
It's a very good film.
It is a big
film. Oh, come on. It's beautiful. Vincent Price, what a great role, you know. Anthony Michael Hall playing against type. Just great.
I do feel that Tim Burton gets in his own way sometimes. His films have to be Tim Burton before they can be anything else.
That's not always a bad thing, though, is it? Because, I mean, you know it's a Tim Burton film, so that's what you're expecting anyway, a Tim Burton film.
Yeah, I just think sometimes you could tone it back and the film would come through more, the story would come through more, it would be more enjoyable. And sometimes I just can't, I'm watching it and just going, Tim Burton, Tim Burton, Tim Burton. I don't know.
Yeah, but surely this was before Tim Burton had the Tim Burton thing going on, that you just can't, it's just churned out and churned out and churned out.
Yeah, this, yeah, it could be said this was the start of it, couldn't it? But yeah, really good film. And Johnny Depp is just fantastic. He's fantastic in everything he does.
Yeah, he is good.
And Winona Ryder was good.
Hmm, yeah.
And I think she's a great actress, but sabotages herself. So, 224. My page is loading. Lethal Weapon.
Get in there.
Here we go. Okay, I'm just going to say right now, I'm not going to enter into the debate of is a Christmas film just because it's on at Christmas or because it has proper Christmas themes in. We've debated that before.
Yeah.
However, it does open with a Christmas song. I don't think there's... Is there anything else about Christmas in it? Oh, there's something about... Yeah, his... Marta's... Mert, or however you pronounce his name. Danny Glover's family. Aren't they... Isn't it a Christmas tree?
It's our...
There you go. Isn't there a Christmas tree in that in the family house?
Yeah, I mean...
What was it? Thanksgiving. Is Riggs not invited around for Thanksgiving?
It must be Christmas, because they don't... I'm sure they don't have trees up at Thanksgiving, do they?
But do you remember a tree? That's what I'm asking. Was there a tree in it?
I don't remember the film at all. I've seen it. I don't have any recollection of it.
Mm. Oh, well. It's a good film, though.
It is a good film, but we just have to take the word for it that there is some level of Christmassiness in it. I think there is something about Thanksgiving there. 23 is Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I mean, come on. If you're going to watch a Christmas Carol film, you've got a choice of two. You've got The Muppets or you've got the Alistair Sim one.
In
They're
Europe,
the best ones.
These aren't just for... middle-aged men, are they?
That's why I said The Muppets, Stephen.
Okay. I thought they were for middle-aged men, not The Muppets.
There's room for Mickey's Christmas Carol.
I think there's more than three Christmas Carol versions that are good, but it's a Disney film, and it's Christmas Carol. Yeah, this is a cracking Christmas film. Can't argue with that one, can you? Eh? 22, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, named 2005 by Shane Black. Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer. I freaking love that film, but Christmas?
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. I mean, we watched this quite recently.
You did?
It's not a Christmas film. It's a very, very good film.
It's a great film, yeah. Really good.
I was surprised how much I enjoyed it, and I don't ever remember thinking, oh, and Christmas, it's set at Christmas time, but unlike Die Hard, it doesn't leave you with that Christmas feeling.
Oh, is Michelle Monaghan, is she... She's in a little Santa outfit at one point.
She is in a little Santa outfit.
Yeah.
Mm. It shouldn't be in this list.
Mm. No, it's not a Christmas movie at all. It's a great movie, but it's not a Christmas movie. Even if she is wearing a damn sexy Santa outfit. And 21, which is, should be way higher than in this list, is White Christmas, 1954. Directed by Michael Curtis. Starring Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, and Rosemary Clooney.
Yeah, I agree. It should be way higher.
What a great film. It's the perfect Christmas film.
I absolutely concur.
Well, according to Empire, there's 20 better Christmas films, so I'm surprised at that. It's definitely a top 10.
Well, to be fair, it's to Empire readers.
What did that mean?
I leave that to you.
That's an oxymoron in itself, isn't it? Sorry.
It's your sponsorship gone, Richard.
Empire doesn't sponsor Film Stalker. Yeah, this should be in the top five, shouldn't it? I mean, it is the perfect Christmas film.
It is.
Beautiful soundtrack. It's got that great old Hollywood feeling. Everything in it is about Christmas. Full stop.
Hmm. Yeah.
Number 20, Trade in Places. Okay, so...
That sounded like Eddie Murphy's life.
There's a couple of great things about this film, and you know, I'm not going to go for the obvious. Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy at the top of his game, just brilliant.
I think John Landis doesn't get enough credit for this film as well. People do pick out the lead actors and say and give them the credit for Trading Places, but you know, John Landis put together a great film, and there's a great cast, and Jamie Lee Curtis is superb in it.
It's not something I'd have thought of it is a Christmas film. If somebody said name 10 Christmas films, I wouldn't have thought of this, but it is a really good film.
Oh, I would have done, because it's got that scene, hasn't it, with Dan Aykroyd in the
I remember it all now. It's not something I'd have thought about as a Christmas film.
I think of all the non-Christmas films that there are, like Lethal Weapon, like some others that may come up. And for me, Trading Places is one of those that I could feel really is a Christmas film as well. It's a film in its own right that has to be set at Christmas, that I could associate with being a Christmas film.
I must add this to my list of films to watch this. I've only got one day left, haven't I?
Mind you, it might be on telly tomorrow.
True.
We're not keeping this farce going, you know. Okay, number 19. Oh, dear God. Home Alone 2.
Oh,
Home Alone 2.
Home Alone 2. Home Alone 2, also known as Home Alone Turd.
Let's remember, this is better than White Christmas. It's at number 19.
So this is Empire Readers again, just to let you know. This is shockingly bad. This should be way down the list.
In its defence, isn't it better than Home Alone 3? I think we should go straight to 18.
Yeah, it's rubbish and it shouldn't be on this list. 18, The Polar Express, motion capture for no damn good reason.
I haven't seen this.
Yeah, it's not brilliant.
No. It's, do you know when you're watching somebody on telly and you just get that creepy sort of paedophile feeling from them?
Let's not name names, but
that's what I feel about motion capture like this in Polar Express. There's something slimy and wrong about it. Just doesn't feel right at all.
Isn't Tintin like that? I've not seen it, but
no, but that's different. They're not trying to make real people look like a cartoon. They're trying to recreate a cartoon. They're trying to bring a cartoon to life using motion capture. I think that's the only time it's actually a perfect example of when it would work, when it's right.
Yeah.
I recently watched, for the first time ever, Beowulf.
Ah, I saw that, the pictures.
And, you know, it's a good film and stuff, but I just couldn't get into it because of the motion capture. I kept thinking, why didn't they film this with real actors? This would be fantastic. But then you wouldn't have got Angelina Jolie naked. Anyway, back to the Polar Express. Has anyone seen it?
No.
Yeah, I have.
And what did you think?
Yeah, it's all right, but that's it, it's all right. But saying that, you know, I've got a 5-year-old daughter, she thinks it's amazing.
Mm.
So, you know, there is that connection there with the kids where it's actually kind of quite a good romper thing for them. But, you know, it's the people that let it down because they just look plastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, the actual sets and stuff and the landscapes are amazing. It's just when it was made, mocap, I don't think was where it needed to be.
Again, another film. I think if they'd made that with real actors and then done CGI and the rest, it would have been
a lot more so.
Yeah, let's move on to 17 then, because I didn't like that either. The list isn't really doing that well, I feel.
No, it's a bit shoddy.
Yeah, well said. However, at number 17, we have the 1994 film The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
You said, however, though, as though they'd actually now put in a good one. I've not seen it all the rest. This is one of the few films I've given up on.
It's way better than Polar Express.
Yeah, and, you know, it's got Judge Reinhold in it. And all the best films have Judge Reinhold in
it. It's got all the Christmas aspects, and it's got a kind of funny Christmas story as well. I really like the... I really enjoyed that story, actually. It was a good laugh.
Hmm. That's it. It's a good Christmas, good family Christmas film.
Yeah. Let's move on to number 16. Batman Returns.
No chance.
The fantastic Yuletide wondrous experience of Batman and Catwoman. Okay, Michelle Pfeiffer in that catsuit is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not a Christmas film.
Great Batman film. Yeah, it was just snow. Well, there are a lot of Christmassy scenes going on in the background.
Yeah, but it's a we're going to open up the Die Hard argument again, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's a film that's set at Christmas, but it has nothing to do with Christmas.
So, you know, suddenly you're on the other side of the argument, aren't you, Mark?
No, I'm not, because Die Hard is trying to get to his ex-wife or his wife for Christmas. That's the difference. This is just set at winter.
Uh-huh. Well, that's how I feel about Die Hard.
Yeah, but you're wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong.
No, I've taken a survey and it says I'm right.
It's strange, my survey says I'm right. And I have scientific evidence. A scientific survey.
What does Stephen's survey say? Who's right?
Well, I haven't seen Batman, so I don't know about that survey, but Die Hard is a Christmas film.
Yes!
That's not in the argument at the moment.
How would you like them apples, Richard? Or how would you like them mince pies?
Yeah, that's very clever of you. You're a very witty man. Witty spelt with an S-H. So, Batman Returns should not be in that list at all.
No.
Number 15, Miracle on 34th Street, the original, I would say. Although, no, to be fair, actually, I'm going to take that back.
Well, it's got both of them under one here, hasn't it?
It has, the 47 and the 94 version. And actually, I do like the 94 version.
Yeah, I think it's a great story, good film. Either one is a good film.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the remake. The original one is a great film, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the truest Christmas stories there could be, I think.
Yeah, it's a great Christmas film.
14, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
No.
Directed by Ron Howard. Oh, wow.
Yeah, you should be shocked for this.
From the year 2000. Well, we'd have missed a good deal of good films, actually. So maybe it shouldn't be shot, but this film should be. This is just a film that makes me think, we've got Jim Carrey. He's got a rubbery face. What possibly could we bring to life using him? And they came up with The Grinch. Rubbish.
Is that the title? Actually, I always thought it was just called The Grinch. Or is that a different film?
There is one. I don't know. Is there one called The Grinch?
Did they do a second or a...
So on number 13, A Jingle All the Way, 1996, with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
How is this number 13? It shouldn't even be in the top 30.
Well, to be fair, it's more about Christmas than a lot of the other films we've gone through.
It's rubbish.
It's not rubbish.
It's Christmas fun. I mean, it is cat, but it's still Christmas fun. And I think a lot of these films are probably, you know what I mean? I mean, if you're watching them in July to see it's made and acted, and you know what I mean? It's going to be pish. If you watch it Christmas Eve. With the family.
Yeah.
You're going to have a laugh. You're going to wish, why did I not watch Batman Returns instead by the end of it?
Yeah, because that's such a great Christmas movie.
It's a fun film.
It is. Mm. You're right. You watch it any other time of year and it's just mince.
Again, though, I mean, why it's above...
something like Christmas.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's just wrong.
But not top 30. It's not bad. It's fun.
And it has more Christmas elements than a lot of these films have. Number 12.
Get in there.
By Joe Dante, Gremlins.
You see, I thought this would have been higher. It's not, I suppose, it's not something you can watch with your kids. I can't see me sitting there watching this one with John.
See, another film with Judge Reinhold in.
Maybe that's the secret to a Christmas classic.
Maybe, yes.
Said a Christmas cracker.
I had a huge crush for Phoebe Cates in this.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah. I wonder how she's aged, actually.
Really well.
Do you think, or do you know?
No, I've seen photos. She's married to Kevin Kline.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so surprising. It's just like, oh, my sweet lord. Sorry, I just did a wee image search for her there.
Yeah, she's absolutely beautiful.
She totally is. Oh, back in the 80s, though, her hairstyle was amazing.
Yeah. And she was going to drop that thread.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
This happens at least once, audio cast, where you just go off searching images on Google.
That's just because you can't, because your wife's there.
On Google?
I don't know. God. Anyway, so swiftly moving on.
Did you think it's... I didn't know what you said about it, Richard. You got, you both got lost.
Yeah. Sidetracked. It's a really funny film, really great, really enjoyable. It is set in Christmas. There is a lot of the Christmas setting. And the Gremlin, the Mogwai rather, is a Christmas present.
Yeah, true.
And there is a strong sense of morality to the tale at the start and the end, not in the middle. I don't know, there's arguments about it's a Christmas film.
Yeah, no.
Well, you know, you've got the story about Santa being stuck up the chimney and all that, haven't you? And you know, I think it's a great film. I really do. And, you know, the thing I love about it, and I still love about it now, is the attention to detail.
Don't they come from there with a Christmas tree as well? Or Christmas lights?
Christmas lights into the microwave.
There's loads of Christmas...
yeah, it's brilliant.
Not killing, but hurt meme jokes going on in there. Yeah, there's lots of things like that.
And, you know, I mean, I'm guessing that probably Bad Santa is going to be up in the list somewhere above this. But this is far, far darker than Bad Santa.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you take out the language, you could show a younger child Bad Santa.
Yeah.
You couldn't show them Gremlins and then have them sleep at night.
No chance.
What an evil parent.
yeah. Let's watch a Christmas film.
Forget the Santa's naughty or nice list. The Gremlins will come if you don't behave.
I've got the water. I think I could be convinced that should be in a Christmas list. And how great is it? It's one of those films you can just watch any time as well, and it's still just as enjoyable.
Yeah.
Like some of these. Very few, but some of these. Number 11, they've got A Christmas Story, 1983.
I don't think I've seen that.
No, I don't think I have.
No. It says barely known in the UK.
Yeah, I have no idea about it. And I'm reading the blurb. It sounds like a very weird story. Kid wants a BB gun and asks his family and Santa Claus for it.
That tells you why it's probably popular in the US. I want a gun for Christmas.
I say nothing. Apparently, it's a great reminder of what it was like to be a kid and obsessed with the present she'd requested. Number 10, The Muppet Christmas Carol.
C?
What do you mean, C? Number 10. That should be way up there. It should be higher.
Well, you know, I don't know what the top nine are, but it's a great film.
It's a great film.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think Michael Caine is really good at it. Bearing in mind, he plays it absolutely straight. And lets all the Muppets kind of do all the comedy around him. I think it's a smashing film. And I think, was it the first one they did after Jim Henson had died? Maybe?
I have no idea. Possibly.
It's ace. Like, it's such a good story, but maybe not quite as good as the Alistair Sim one. But it's certainly better than the Mickey Mouse one.
I'm not denying that the Mickey Mouse one is a better. I'm not saying Mickey Mouse. I'm saying there's a place in the top 30 for Mickey Mouse's Christmas Carol. I don't think it should be above this one or the Alistair Sim one. But there's at least 10 films before Mickey Mouse comes out of the top 30 that should leave.
Yeah, true.
And again, as I said before, that's a Disney film. You know, Disney Christmas commercialism. It just belongs together.
Mm.
It's a good point, actually, about Michael Caine, because it's his performance that helps convince you about the Muppets, I think, in this film.
Yeah, very much so.
You just believe in them so much more. And some great choice of characters from the Muppets as well. It's just inspired. Hilarious one. Let's get into the top 10. Number 9, Love Actually.
I've not seen this, so...
I love it.
I think it's a great film. And I think Marty McCutcheon is amazingly hot in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's just a great ensemble piece.
Yeah, absolutely. All the stories.
Everybody's brilliant and, great film.
All the stories fit in well. It doesn't feel like a hodgepodge mix of them. They do connect well. They do come together in different ways. They do tell a different tale about Christmas and about people. I love the storyline of Emma Thompson and Alan Rickman and the whole straying from the marriage storyline, which really gives it a darker thread or more reality-based thread. I love the one that Andrew Lincoln plays in a scene with the cards and Christmas carols in the front step. And there's just so many great things about it. But one of the most inspired moments is at the start and end in the airports.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, that's the bit that'll make me cry most often when I film.
It's not for the cynics amongst you. It's for those who are, you know, open to it. It's just an easy watch.
And it does, it gets all those things going inside you that you want to go in at Christmas, even though there's still those darker threads, more reality-based threads going in the background. Yeah, I think it's one of Richard Curtis's best films. Okay, number 8, The Nightmare Before Christmas, which is probably this audio cast. 1990, directed by Henry Selick, obviously, and a huge list of great voices for the film.
I always thought Tim Burton directed this, but he didn't, did he?
No. He must have produced it. I'm sure you get to naming big words on the box. You know, you got a DVD. Maybe I just imagined it like you, Mark.
No, no, because I'm sure it says Tim Burton's A Nightmare Before Christmas. That's how it was originally marketed. I saw it in the Laserdisc, because I remember seeing it in the Laserdisc first of all. And I'm convinced it was that. In fact, let's go and have a look. Let's see what the internet says.
I've just looked at I've got it on Blu-ray. It says Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas.
There you go.
He wrote the story.
Although on Amazon, it's got him down as director.
Hey?
Yeah, Tim Burton director, Henry Selick director.
According to IMDb, Tim Burton came up with the story and the characters. Michael McDowell adapted it. Caroline Thompson wrote the screenplay. And Henry Selick directed it.
It is a really good film. I'm not sure I put it in top 10.
No. Did he get the animation Oscar that year? 93.
I think it did get an Oscar, didn't it?
Did it? Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Let me just have a look to make sure on that one. Yeah, it was nominated for Best Effects. It did not win.
Well, what do you know?
I am looking now. Best Effects, Best Visual Effects was Nightmare Before Christmas, Cliffhanger, Jurassic Park.
I wonder.
Jurassic Park would have won that, and it did.
Right, fair enough, rightly so.
Yeah, I mean, Night Before Christmas, great, great film. It is a Christmas story. It's a really unusual take on a Christmas story, which I really enjoyed seeing. It was very refreshing. Yeah, it's a really cool story. I really like it. Must watch it again, actually.
It's always on Channel 4 as well. You can a week before Christmas, no matter when you flip through, it seems to be on Channel 4. I think that's another way it gives you that Christmas feel.
What, because it's on Channel 4?
No, because it's on Channel 4 at Christmas. I don't know why it's always Channel 4, but it always seems to be. But it is one of these things that you do think of Christmas when you see it.
Number 7, and that is Bad Santa in 2003, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
I think it's a fantastic film. I will watch it again this Christmas.
Yeah, it's great.
I might have to watch it all the way through.
Was this the one you didn't get to you stopped watching it last year?
There's a couple of films I've done that with, and this is one of them, yeah.
Hmm. How come?
It's just one of those I didn't connect with in any way, and I was watching and going, I know I should be laughing at this point, but I'm not.
Yeah, I loved it.
Maybe
it's a good film.
Maybe it was the mood I was in when I was watching it, but I couldn't get through a certain part and just thought,
And it's nice to have this side of a Christmas story as well, you know, not the sickly sweet stuff at times. It's just a really good, funny film.
Mm. Yeah, I know it's really well liked, and I'm surprised it's only at 7, to be honest. I thought it would be much higher than that.
I think you got it right.
Number 6, another one that is going to float Mark's boat, and that's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, made in 1989.
Mm-hmm. Proof that Chevy Chase can do a good film.
I'm not going to rise to that. I think it's probably my favourite Christmas film, to be fair.
And to be honest, most of Chevy Chase's films show that he can do a good Chevy Chase film.
Yeah, he's great at doing a Chevy Chase impression, that's the thing.
He is really good at it. He's practiced a long time. Most of his life, I believe.
Yeah, I'd say. But no, it's a good fun film. It ticks all the boxes. It's got, you know, everybody in it and a pre-Seinfeld Julia Louis-Dreyfus as well. So
I was just looking at that and thinking,
yeah
do you? She's quite hot, isn't she?
I think she plays the next door neighbour, doesn't she? So.
Yeah, with the fella as well. Because anything that goes wrong ends up being wrong in their house.
Yeah. And it's got Juliette Lewis in it as well, hasn't it?
This is another one I watch every year.
I love this, yeah. It's a perfect Christmas film.
Number 5, Scrooged. One of my favourite Christmas films.
Yeah, I hate it.
It's good. It's a great film.
It's up there with Elf as just the most overrated Christmas films going. They're both pap as films go. They might be Christmassy, but they're not very good films.
Oh, no, this is just awesome. Bill Murray's fantastic in it.
Bill Murray's I think it might be, but he's a in real life, I don't know. But in this, even when he redeems his whatever it is at the end, you don't buy it because he's still a in the film.
don't mince your words, Stephen, please. You know, let's know really how you're feeling.
You're not liking him at the end of it any more than you did at the beginning. You've not learned anything, regardless of what's going on. It's a bad film.
Oh, he has.
Bill Murray's fault. He has not.
He has, and the tear always comes out at the end, and I always start wishing that I was there and screaming in the audience when he tells you scream. That's just fantastic.
No, Boxing Day is back to being a
takes one to know one, I think. Oh, I think it's a fantastic film, start to finish. It's a fantastic take on the whole Scrooged affair, and it's just genius setting it in a TV studio kind of idea, and they're building up this epic of Scrooge around. It's just, I'd love it. And the whole taking the hostages in the control booth at the end with Bobcat Goldthwait is just fantastic. And also, very inspired, John Forsythe is one of the ghosts. I love that.
We watched Scrooge last year, didn't we? As one of I won't be watching it this Christmas.
Well, I'll humbug you. I know what you will be watching, though, and that'll be number 4, Home Alone.
Indeed. Now we're talking Christmas.
Kids being abandoned by their parents and having to defend their home against robbers. Very Christmassy.
It's this Christmas spirit.
Of abandoning your children. Yes, great.
Of getting your family together for Christmas.
After abandoning them.
We will do this every year, won't we?
Yeah.
There's 4 films. I'll always hate Scrooge. I'll always hate Home Alone.
Home Alone's great.
So Home Alone, definitely worthy of its top 5 position.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, I don't agree. Number 3, It's a Wonderful Life, 1946. 1946, see? Right.
Yeah, this is a great Christmas film. I don't bother watching. I've seen it a few times and it's really, really good, but you don't want to be depressed for an hour and a half during Christmas. Do you know what I mean? You can get your kids and you can watch Home Alone and Mickey's Christmas Carol. Mm. They're not going to sit around and watch this. They're going to disappear. They're going to get bored after half an hour, as good as it is. It should be in the top 5. It's just one of them films that everybody loves and then doesn't bother watching, I'm sure.
It's quite a hard watch, though. I've got to say.
I don't think it's people don't bother with it. I think it's that it tells a... Yeah, it's got a schmaltzy side of the typical Christmas stories, but at the same time, it's doing a big, harsh dose of reality at the start.
Yeah.
Or not at the very start, but through the film.
And I mean, it's a great film.
And yeah, it's showing you how... It's how people make a difference at Christmas. It really is. It's what people could do.
Yeah, great film.
Oh, dear me.
Get in there.
I've just seen number 2.
I'm going to number 2.
This makes Scrooge look good. It's a shock.
It's brilliant. What is there not to love? Buddy the Elf.
Really? I sometimes think you're taking the mick. It's worse than Scrooged.
It's not worse than Scrooge. It's brilliant. It's a definite... It should be number 2. That should be National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It should be number 3.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
It should be down the list.
What's not to love? Oh. It's got an elf. It's got Zoe Deschanel in it.
You say it's got an elf like Elf's Christmas. I think this is the only film with an elf in that we've ever seen.
That's probably true, yeah.
Elves don't make Christmas films.
They do, because they work with Santa Claus.
Skyscrapers make Christmas films.
Yeah, that's true.
Explosions, abandoned children, and heavy weaponry. That's Christmas.
Yeah, that sums it up for me. That's what I'll be doing this year. Okay. Well, it's a feel-good movie, and, you know, that's what you want at Christmas time. Sit round, family film, not too taxing, feel-good film, makes you laugh. It's ace.
I did giggle. I don't know if it really made me feel good. It's a comedy based at Christmas. Yeah, that's the kind of thing I felt about it.
I don't even think you should be in the top 30.
Look, just because it's not a musical set in a garage in Cherbourg at Christmas time doesn't mean it can't be popular.
There's number 5 to add to your earlier 4, Richard.
No, he doesn't have a go at me about that.
All right. He has three things at me.
Which are?
The musical garage.
To be fair, everybody at work knows about the musical garage.
Donkeys.
Well, yeah, and we've seen our donkeys in films.
And they're Christmassy.
I can't think of another number 3, actually. All will be better when we see what number one is, Richard.
I wonder what it could be.
And so that's the Christmas 30 list from Empire. So there we go. That's been a great show. And thanks very much for listening.
I think
you'll find
that there is another.
There is another. So at number one, we have the top Christmas movie, according to the Empire readers. And that is Die Hard.
Myself, I prefer Die Hard 2 for Christmas love and cheer, but I'll accept Die Hard 1.
Well, it does have the start and the end, doesn't it? There's a Christmas tree and a Christmas song at the end.
And it's set at Christmas. It's about a family. It's about a
You can't use the set at Christmas because we already argued about one film earlier.
It's going to be set at Christmas spirit as well.
Yeah, this is about Christmas, and it sums it up, and it's a... It's rightfully at number one because it's ace.
To be fair, you are right, because when we look at the image that they've chosen for the Christmas dialogue, it's a man in a vest covered in blood, screaming, shooting an automatic weapon.
But if you look
over there, nothing Christmassy there at all.
If you look over his right shoulder, you can see some Christmas lights.
Those aren't Christmas lights, those are police lights.
I think how can they be Christmas police lights? Because he's on the top floor.
It's a helicopter. Police helicopter.
That's not a helicopter. It's a Christmas tree.
Of course it is. You just want it to be a Christmas tree to try and validate your Christmas choice of film. Mm-hmm. There are some Christmas aspects to it. They're very light. And it is a great film.
It's a fab film.
But I don't believe it's the top Christmas movie ever. As well, by readers.
Luckily for you, I've taken a survey, and the survey's come back that it is the top Christmas film. It is number one, and that's the fact, and rightfully so. It's got a Christmas party in it, it's got a Christmas hat in it, it's got snow in it, and it's got a Christmas song in it. What more do you need?
There could be so many films that tick those boxes.
Yeah, name one. It's got Kalashnikovs in it as well.
What was the one we were just arguing about?
Elf?
No, back way, where you were saying it shouldn't be on the Christmas list.
Batman Returns.
No, there's another one.
Well, Batman Returns has got a Christmas hat, it's got snow, it's set in Christmas.
Yeah, is it about trying to get the family back together? I don't think it is.
There's not about it. It's protecting a bunch of corporate bankers, probably.
He's trying to get back
from an invading German psychopath and his team.
Here's the key, Richard. What's his wife called? Holly. There's nothing more Christmassy than Holly.
It's a good porn star name.
Holly Gennaro.
That's a good porn star name.
That is a great porn star name.
There's a lot of porn stars called Holly, allegedly. And they are not very Christmassy.
Is it a good film, Richard?
It is a good film, yes.
So your only problem with Die Hard is it's not a Christmas film.
But I've got no problem with Die Hard.
It's still a great film, okay.
I've got a problem with it be number one on the 30 best Christmas movies ever list. So we'll just have to agree to disagree another.
Before we tie this up, films that haven't been on, like Alistair Sim's Christmas Carol, was it in the top 30?
Yeah, how old is the average Empire reader?
15, probably.
Well, there you go. Why is Planes, Trains and Automobiles not on it?
That's Thanksgiving.
It does have that Christmas spirit, though.
Yeah. Oh, it does, yeah.
So it could have been at 29.
You see, for me, the film that's missing is Star Wars Episode 4. Because that film always reminds me of Christmas. Because I remember Christmas 77, getting the toys. And that link is just there for me. It's you know, a great Christmas film because of that. And I think that's the thing with this list, isn't it? It's all personal. And personally, I think Die Hard's number one.
And another thing, making sure Die Hard gets another mention. One foreign language film, which was that Finnish one from last year.
Yeah, but to be fair, Die Hard has got Germans in it.
Okay, I have just looked up The Observer top 10 Christmas films from last year. Not from last year, their list last year of the top 10 Christmas films. Let me just work through in reverse order their list.
Yeah, I've just looked at that actually. And just to kind of counteract your argument, because obviously a certain film isn't in there.
Okay, hold on, Mark. Stop leaping to conclusions. I wasn't picking the Observer list because it doesn't have Die Hard. and the Azara list, because the, you know, if you want to get to a different viewpoint of Empire readers, I would have thought the Observer list would be a good one to go to.
Yeah.
And it's not trying to prove a point about Die Hard. So the, at number 10, they've got... Stephen, what is that film called?
A Christmas Tale.
Yes. You're not going to try the French version of that?
No. Which is what I mentioned last year. I mean, it's set at Christmas, yet not very Christmassy as well. So, I mean...
That's quite a downbeat film, isn't it?
Yeah.
From what I've heard. I haven't noticed.
It is a really good film. It's definitely worth a watch. But it's not something you sit around with your family again and watch. But this is The Guardian, and it's more of an adult list, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I thought it'd be interesting to have a look at it. Number 9, they've got Will It Snow for Christmas. Again, another film I haven't seen. Another foreign film. Mark has just changed the Skype picture to the original Scrooge. Look at that. So, yeah, so a 1996 film, Will It Snow for Christmas. At number 9. Number 8, Gremlins.
Oh, it deserves to be there.
Yes, it's really cool. I think that's really cool. That's showing up on a more adult list. Number 7 is A White Christmas. Number 6, The Holly and the Ivy, 1952 film.
Never heard of that one.
I've never heard of it either. Mark, do you know anything about that?
No, I've not seen it. I've heard of it, but I've not seen it.
It's got some big names in it. No, I've never seen
it. Yeah.
Number 6, we're presented with exactly the same image that Mark has on his Skype photo at the moment. It is Scrooge from 1951. Yeah, you would expect that to be there as well. Number 4, they have Miracle on 34th Street, the 1947 version, not the remake. Number 3, It's a Wonderful Life. Number 2, Christmas Holiday from 1944.
Never seen that one either.
No, I've never seen that either. Mark?
No, nope. Not seen it.
And number 1, Meet Me in St. Louis. But that's a very interesting list in comparison.
See, do you know what? I'm actually looking at another list, which a website which is nowhere near as good as Film Stalker. And
thanks.
It's all right, but it's true. Lethal Weapon, isn't there the shootout in the Christmas tree place where the flogging Christmas trees?
Is it?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I mean, and you could always have the Dark Knight in there, couldn't you?
Why?
Because isn't that set around Christmas time?
Well, if we're going to that sort of level, I don't think we should be, though.
But if you do that, Matt, you're suddenly arguing against your own argument for Die Hard if you start putting Batman Dark Knight in.
That's why I'm not doing it.
All right.
I'm just saying maybe we could. Good catch, Steve.
Yeah, save him from himself.
I'm going to have to go.
Yeah, it's getting late.
It and is.
Thought, you know, it's Christmas Eve. There's presents to wrap.
Oh, of course, yes, it is Christmas, isn't it? Okay, guys, thank you for spending Christmas Eve with me looking at some Christmas films and discussing the Empire Top 30 Christmas Best Movies Ever list as voted by Empire readers. And for totally not agreeing with any of us on any of them. Actually, we did. There were a few we did agree with.
Yeah.
But mostly we didn't.
That's good, as it should be. We're three different people with different tastes.
Yeah, that's how the world goes round. Well, it's not. It's gravity and effect of other planets. But anyway, thank you very much for that. And I think I can speak for us all when I say have a very good Christmas. And I hope you get some really good movies for Christmas. And hopefully none that were in the top 5 on that list. So it's goodbye from myself.
Goodbye from me.
And Merry Christmas from me.
Merry Christmas. Thanks so much, guys.
It's Christmas Eve in L.A.
California.
Is Daddy coming home, Sue?
Well, we'll see what Santa and Mommy can do, okay?
A New York cop, John McLean, has come to see his wife.
I missed you.
Instead, he's going to have to save her.
Sit down.
Within this skyscraper high above the city, 12 terrorists have declared war.
They're about to be put a lesson in the real use of power.
There is brilliant.
Because I am interested in the $640 million in your vault.
As they are ruthless.
But I'm telling you, you're just going to have to kill me.
Okay. We do it the hard way.
Now, the last thing McLean wants.
Think, David, think.
Is to be a hero.
Where's Alex?
Hey, Tucker!
Where?
But he doesn't have a choice.
What does he think he's doing?
Job.
The
They have already killed one hostage.
This channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
He's inside. Who is he?
Who are you then? You are most troublesome for a security guard.
Sorry, wrong guess, huh? Would you like to go for double jeopardy?
You really think you have a chance against our sadistic cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
You just destroyed a building.
And I am in charge of this situation.
Well, I got some bad news for you. From up here, it doesn't look like you're in charge of Jack.
He is alone, he is tired, and he hasn't seen this squad from anybody down here.
Hey, pal, how you feeling?
Only John can drive somebody that crazy.
He's an easy guy to like.
Come out to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.
And a hard man to kill. Bruce Willis, Die Hard.
Got invited to the Christmas party by mistake. Who knew?
What was that?
What was that?
That was the gulp of Christmas.
Arse.
sorry about that, guys.
Oof. Was that
the sprouts?
I think I'm just trying to end up.
I can actually smell that coming through Skype.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Empire have... put their 30 best Christmas films online.